I know the struggles our communities face because I live them. I'm Justin Michael. Let's start bridging the divides in our district together. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of hour number one. Continuing on with this story from MERS News Service. Little history, kind of interesting. Again, did not realize that when we started as a state back in 1837, Library of Michigan, which dates back to 1861, said back then the part-time legislature met every other year in the odd number years. Senate bills began at 1001, while the House bills continued starting at 1 from 1953 through 1964. When the number of House bills got up to 958, there were fewer than 50 bills left to introduce in the very special session that year before the bills would have the same number again. Interesting. Well, beginning in 1965 to 1966, the first of what became Michigan's full-time legislature that was created under the 1963 Constitutional Convention. While the Senate bills went back to starting at 1, and the House bills began at 2001. Why? Because they knew by going to a full-time legislature, they were going to end up having over 1,000 bills. That practice lasted until 1971 through 72, when then at that point, the House began starting their bills at 4001. The mechanics of the 1964 election was chaotic due to a Supreme Court ruling that state Senate districts and House districts had to equate to one person, one vote, as opposed to Senate districts, which was based on geography. Michigan became the first state to redistrict its legislature since the court's historic one man, one vote decision. For more, there was actually an 8-part series done back in 2019 talking about the redistricting debacle from 1961 to 1964. One of the opinions of an attorney, actually from that 2019 series, said that our current constitution is actually unconstitutional. Well, this brought enormous changes in the state legislature. Former House Speaker Bobby Crimm, then 34 years old, was one of the new faces swept into the legislature at that time. He said roughly half of the House was brand new. They had new energy, new ideas, which brought about a lot of new bills. So in the 1965-66 session, the House actually introduced 1,931 bills that year. In the other chamber, the Senate introduced 1,238. Prior to that session, each chamber averaged around 400 bills per session. That was it. Well, with the start of the full-time session legislature, when they went from part-time to full-time, meaning there would be a lot more bills since sessions spanned 2 years instead of one. While Krim said he doesn't have a direct memory, it would only make sense that the bill sequencing came out of the chamber was changed to reduce the confusion for everyone involved. The bills had to have a high enough number not to be confused with the bills in the other chamber. Really, that's the only explanation I can come up with. But it was pretty interesting how this evolved. Now, one of the things that they bring up in this story was that the Constitution ended up going to the United States Supreme Court. Why? Well, because it was a voter-approved 1963 Constitution where a state Senate redistricting scheme in which districts were based on 80% on the number of voters in the area and only 20% land. Until the ruling early summer of 1964, it was hard to plan for a state Senate primary or congressional primary, for that matter, based on the way the maps were drawn. So the state Supreme Court had the maps for the new redistricting commission put together. But it wasn't going to act on it until it knew if the standard actually proved one person for one vote. While the Republican-led legislature attempted to draw their own maps in the meantime. But Attorney General at the time, Frank Kelly, told them that they were wasting their time. The Senate went ahead and passed their legislation, moving the primary date to September 1st to give everyone more time to figure out the new maps. But the Democrats denied them immediate effect, meaning the regularly scheduled August primary would not be canceled and the state would have to have two if the bill was in fact signed in law. Well, this is how the Detroit Free Press reported it back in June of 1964. The high court clouds the state vote again. Decree kills the 80-20 formula. The United States Supreme Court decision on Monday in the state's legislative districting threw a major roadblock in the way plans for an orderly Michigan election would take place in the fall of 1964 in a decree that apparently involves Michigan's present legislative districting plan as well as the state's constitutional formula on which it was based. The High Court ruled that the state senators and representatives must be elected on a strictly population basis. Michigan Chief Justice Thomas M. Kavanaugh said the high state court would probably act immediately to bring Michigan's legislative apportionment scheme in line with these new requirements. The state court on May 26th approved a districting plan that follows a formula in the new Michigan Constitution. Election officials went ahead with the plans for a September 1st primary and then held the very quickly held November 3rd general election right after it. Generally, the steps which the Michigan court might take falls into three categories. It could draw new Senate and House districts based on equal population and issue whatever orders necessary to make sure legislators are elected from these districts in the November election. Again, this story from 1964. Option number two, permit election of legislators this year, either from existing districts or the new districts approved by the state court back on May 26th, with the understanding that next time state lawmakers are elected, it will be from the districts that fall in line with the U.S. constitutional requirements as interpreted by the federal court based on population. Option number three, draw districts with substantially equal population, but with an eye on preserving as much as possible present district boundary lines to minimize the impact on the state's election machines. They were having machine issues back in 1964. Well, Governor George Romney said Monday, this again from 1964, he believes that the state Supreme Court can easily draw lines that would meet federal requirements. The Upper Peninsula and the northern part of the Lower Peninsula would each have to give up one seat in the Senate, which would then be assigned to the metropolitan areas of Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties, Governor Romney said. One House seat would have to be shifted from the outstate areas to the Detroit area. Under the governor's proposal, however, focuses attention on the practical problem of setting up the election machines in time for the September 1st primary. Another possible way of solving the dilemma has been mentioned before and was revived in light of the United States Supreme Court decision. This would simply to be hold the present legislature over for another term or at least another year while the machines were put in shape to handle these special election dates. This is amazing. Well, bottom line, they were looking at the map even back then. A couple of days later, June 20th, 1964, the Legislative Apportionment Commission failed again Friday in its effort to come to terms on new districts for both the state Senate and the House. Seven plans came up for a vote in a five-hour meeting. On six of the seven votes, four Republicans and four Democratic commissioners were split evenly along party lines. So we even had gridlock back in 1964. 5 o'clock deadline came for an agreement, which was set by the state Supreme Court, and they adjourned in deadlock, once again turning over redistricting to the courts. Interesting history. We got two more stories from 1964 showing gridlock. Going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Are you sick and tired of the same old political talking points with no real solutions? Inaction isn't leadership. It's time for new leadership in Michigan's 1st District. someone with fresh perspectives, new ideas, and a willingness to listen to the people they serve. It's time for change. I'm Justin Michael, and I'm running for U.S. Congress to put Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula back on track. Let's bridge the divides together. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Talking about history, part-time legislature going to full-time legislature, going from meeting every other year only in the odd number years to every year, and then the counting of the bills, how they got expanded because of the full-time legislature. House bills now start with 4001. Well, going back to the history, there was a fight in June of 1964 after the Constitutional Convention took place in 1963. They had to redraw the maps. One vote for one person. Well, on June 25th, 1964, Governor George Romney on Wednesday attacked Michigan's new legislative districting plan as being a vicious partisan gerrymander. Sound familiar? We just went through it for the redistricting maps, voters, not politicians, which is now a constitutional amendment, setting up this basically commission to redraw our maps made up of citizens chosen by the governor, not the state legislature. Well, back then, Romney called the new plan vicious partisan gerrymander and moved to block its use in the upcoming 1964 elections. He also assailed the 6-2 decision by the state Supreme Court Monday that put the plan into effect. Romney, who was out of the state when the court made its ruling, blasted the new apportionment after meeting privately with Republican legislators and Republican members of the Legislative Apportionment Commission. Governor Romney said he did not know yet whether an appeal from the decision would be made to the United States Court, but he asked his legal staff to see if it was possible. Well, according to Bill Ballinger of the Ballinger Report, Romney's threats didn't lead anywhere. I don't know if it ended up in court or not, but the Austin-Kleiner redistricting plan is what prevailed. Republicans of that time called it a Democratic gerrymandering plan, and that combined with the President Lyndon Johnson landslide of 1964 gave the Democrats total control of the Michigan legislature for the first time since 1938. Sound familiar? basically from 64 to 38, 30-some years, almost. Well, 1982, the Republicans took the majority of the Senate in Michigan's state Senate chamber. They had control of the Senate until 2022. They had it for 40 years. Just saying, history kind of has a way of repeating itself. Ballinger went on to say, for decades thereafter, Michigan's redistricting was one way or another always tied up in the courts. In 1972, the Democrat-controlled state Senate Supreme Court approved a reapportionment plan that was arguably even more favored toward the Democrats. Then, 1982, the state Supreme Court ordered the redistricting plan drawn up by Bernie Appel, the Secretary of State's Election Division's employee. These were now the familiar APOL standards, and it continued until the 1991 divided legislature, which at that time created a three-judge panel chaired by the former Court of Appeals Chief Justice John Leshinsky, who they then redrew Michigan's legislative district maps. This panel used a method that was pretty close to the Appel standards. Fast forward to 2001, a lot had changed. The Republicans controlled the Supreme Court, the governor's office, the legislature. 10 years later, in 2011, the Democrats didn't even bother to challenge the Republican-drawn maps. As I recall, for a while after 1964 Sims decision, the Nonpartisan Redistricting Commission, created under the 1963 Constitution, periodically tried to adapt redistricting plans. That was, of course, without having to adhere to the old 80-20 formula. But bottom line, they couldn't agree on anything. The commission had been drawn up with 8 members, 4 Democrats and 4 Republicans. It would be interesting to see how things worked out when the new redistricting commission was approved, finally amending the state's constitution in 2018. Well, we all know who appointed those members. Then Governor Gretchen Whitmer. So that's basically the history of all the court battles back and forth going all the way back over 60 years ago. Hour number 2 today's show, we'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show.